I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And thank you all so very much for joining us here today on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, the water monster himself going kind of basic today, Kyle Phils.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. And of course, I've got my bottle of water here. I'm just drinking a regular old Dasani today.
Usually you bring it in lots of times.
Exotic flavor?
You bring in exotics, but you bring it in where you can pour it all in or you carry it all in. Or this time you're just rocking the single bottle and your glasses.
Well, I switch.
You're just going minimalist on me now?
I'm going minimalist lifestyle today. I wait till the summer gets here. That's when I really get crazy with the fizzy waters. I wait till it starts getting warm and then I don't know what it is. In the winter, I don't really like fizzy waters. But today I was on the move real quick, and I had to stop by the house to bring some SD cards over here.
Word.
And I grabbed one out of the fridge in the garage instead of stopping at an actual gas station where I could find perhaps some exotic water that I've never had before.
Do your boys raid your exotic water if you bring it home like that and keep it there?
Not too much. They don't really
it's
drink.
Not too bad.
They prefer soda or sweet tea.
I got you.
Listen, I like soda and sweet tea, but I know it ain't the best for me, so
yeah.
I stick with water. No, we have a big... the water dispenser in the kitchen, like an Ozarka. It's like a 5 gallon.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a water cooler. That's the word I'm looking for. And that's where most people get their water at our house.
Not you.
Not
it's
me.
Not good enough for you.
No, in fact, I was watering the garden a couple of days ago and I started drinking out of the hose. And they were like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? What am I doing? I'm getting a drink.
It's water.
We used to do that all the time.
It has that distinct flavor that I like.
Yeah, right? I don't know why. Somebody
That's what they ought to sell. They ought to sell flavored water of hose flavored water.
Now you're talking.
See, now we're getting somewhere.
I would be down. I'm happy. I'm in a good mood because the Dallas Stars made it to the Western Conference Final.
Here we go. Yep.
I'm excited. It took a lot. It took game 7 to get past Vegas. It took 6 games to get by Colorado. And now we're going to be facing off against Edmonton. And I'm excited. We're going to be back in the Western Conference Final for the second year in a row.
It's pretty good. The Rangers won the World Series. Dallas is in the playoffs.
The Mavericks.
And so is the Mavs. Yeah.
Just not the Dallas Cowboys.
Not the Cowboys.
Which I think is funny. So I am not a Cowboys fan. I'm not really an NFL fan.
No.
I like college football.
Yeah.
But the pros, I very rarely watch the NFL. The only time it's on in my house is if it's like on in the background while I'm doing something else, right? So you hear a loud noise, you kind of look like, what happened?
What's everybody cheering for?
Somebody threw an interception or bump.
That's right.
You know, oh, they dropped it, you know. Like, who cares? I'm not into it.
Yeah.
I know lots of people are. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I like hockey and I like baseball. That's my two favorites.
That's your go-tos.
That's my go-tos. So yeah, man, I'm in a good mood. Until if they actually start playing badly. Then I'll be on
then
suicide
we'll
watch.
Yeah, I'll have to keep my eye on you over there. I don't want to hear a bunch of yelling and there'll be like broken glass and your wife crying, holding her eye. I don't want to see all that.
I don't know if you keep up with financial stuff, but...
I'm on it all the time. No.
Do you remember, I'm going to take you way back.
All right.
About 9 years ago, 10 years ago, we had just started Expanded Perspectives Elite. And to join Elite, just like it is today. It was $5 a month. We had this guy email the show. Now, you remember, this is back in like 2014. He wanted to know if he could give us Bitcoin instead of American money. And we goofed on him. We were like, No, we don't take Bitcoin. We take U.S. dollars. Yeah. We don't take pelts. Yeah. We don't take wampum.
I remember that.
Boy, the joke is on us. Do you know if we took that five Bitcoin for that month of elite subscription, that would be worth today?
No, because he was going to pay us. I forgot how many it was.
Five Bitcoin a month.
That's what it was.
Instead of $5, he was going to give us five Bitcoin a month.
What would it have been worth?
So if he just bought 1 month, it would be worth $350,000. If he bought a year's worth, it would be $4.2 million. Man, so boy, are we dumb.
I got to go.
That's it, folks. Show's over.
I'm done.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up.
This is so stupid. Why am I still doing this?
Right? But we didn't know. You can't get mad at what you didn't know. Like back then, you're like, cryptocurrency, get out of here.
I'm mad about everything.
Well, it's not the first dumb financial move I've ever made in my life.
It's not the first dumb move I've made this week.
That one is catastrophic, though. I will tell you another bad investment I made. So way back in the day, I actually owned $1,000 worth of Apple stock. And I did so when the first iPod came out, the one that looked like the Bic lighter, had no screen on it, nothing. I was like, man, this is revolutionary. This is going to beat the Sony Walkman, you know, or the whatever.
Discman.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. For sure. Yeah. I bought it, and back then,
I love this story.
It didn't really take off. So then this announcement comes, Howard Stern is leaving terrestrial radio, and he's going to Sirius Radio. And I'm like, now's my chance. He's going to light up the airwaves, because Sirius
Radio.
He
was the be-all, end-all.
It was nothing. So I sold all $1,000 worth of Apple stock and invested it all in Sirius Radio. Now, mind you, this is before there were smartphones, right? The first iPhone came out in 2007. So this was before that. Boy, how dumb of a decision that was. If I still had that stock now, I would be worth not quite as much as if we took the Bitcoin, but I would be worth. Let's be honest. If I did the Bitcoin deal and I still had the Apple stock, I wouldn't have never done this podcast. In fact, no one would ever hear from me. I'd be like in Belize or some other. I'd own my own island somewhere.
That's what I'm most upset about, is that we didn't take the money, so I don't have to see you every time.
Yeah, you would never. You wouldn't see me. No one would have seen me. I would have not met my wife. I would not have the children I have. But it might not have been good. It might have gone to my head. I might have, you know, spent a lot of money on ladies of the evening.
Booger shit.
A crocodile addiction that would have ended my life. I mean, there's no telling, right?
Yeah.
There's all these forks in the road. Every decision has a big consequence if we go down far enough. But, yeah, so if you're out there and you've made some stupid financial decisions, don't feel bad. You're not alone. I've done it,
but
too.
See, I think about going the other direction. Like, if we would have taken that Bitcoin and then we just started saying, yeah, we'll take Bitcoin, and we'd have had more people pay with Bitcoin.
I know.
Dude.
I wasn't into it.
I don't even
want to
think about it. I don't even want to think about none of that.
You know, one thing I'm glad I don't. I'm glad I wasn't born with like the gambling gene.
Oh,
I have no desire to ever gamble.
No, me either.
I know some people that have it bad though. Like I remember when we would go to New Jersey every summer and I'd stay with my grandparents and we would go to the boardwalk. And my grandmother would give us like $100 to play on the midway, like all day. You know, all the dumb games where you pitch, you know, and you win. You know, it's dumb.
And then your grandfather would spend all the rest of the rent money.
No, my cousins would go and they would play all day long. I wouldn't spend a dime of it. I'd be like, I'd just rather just keep the $100.
Just eat hot dogs and hang out.
I'm not into gambling.
Yeah.
It's just never.
Don't like to play skee ball to get 10,000 tickets?
I will do it like when I take Luke or the twins when they were little just to try to, you know, win them some stupid prize. But me, myself, I'm not into it. I used to work with a guy like he spent like his paychecks before he got them on like betting on football, betting on baseball, betting on everything.
Man.
I mean, it's no shocker he got a divorce a couple years later. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Because your wife's tired of not having any money because you're blowing it.
Because you're crazy.
And I just
but one of these days it's going to hit.
That's what they think, right?
Hey, I got something for you that's going to hit.
What is it?
We talk about finding weird and strange things. And you remember I took you out there and showed you after I found like that plastic little tykes playground thing out in the woods.
Yeah,
out there on our dearlies. It's really unsettling.
Yeah, it's just out in the middle of nowhere.
Just nowhere. Just tucked into the woods, right? This comes from a forestry service, like a forestry service find that I want to tell you about. This is what it says. It says, my older cousin is with the Forest Service in Montana, and I decided to go up there with her to literally test the waters. She's a hydrologist and has to ride out in the middle of nowhere to test streams and snow runoff to ensure no contaminants. All right. That sounds like a pretty cool job. No lie. So it says, so I thought that this sounded fun, and I just wanted to do a little bit of a tour with her. So we were going to have to camp out there for 2 nights. So during this time, we packed all of our gear in saddle bags or saddle bundles, and we started out. Says the first day and night was amazing. It was beautiful scenery and amazing air quality, that it really is so peaceful out there. I love that area, and I wish I got to go up there more often. So anyway, we start out on the second day, and my cousin said, "Do you want to see something weird?" And I said, "Yeah, of course I do." So she led me on a bit of a side journey into this tiny little ravine. We ended up traveling about 2 hours away from the actual path that we had laid out. At the very end of this fold in the land, she dismounts, and she tells me to get off of my horse also. So we tie them up in this gorgeous little clearing, and she tells me to follow this tiny wildlife path to bring our little rechargeable radio. It's one of those that you can plug in or wind up, so it also acts like a lantern if you really need it to. But that kills the batteries quickly. So I grab it, and out in the middle of nowhere, there's this huge coil of wire sticking up out of the ground. The wire itself was not weirdly large, just some buried transmission wire, but small, like 10 or 12 gauge wiring for a house. And it trailed off into the brush and trees so naturally that I decided to follow the thing out of curiosity. My cousin trails behind me as I do, and this wire, after coming straight up from the ground, is strung across limbs of trees, then back to the ground, then it snakes around rocks, and finally dead ends into an outlet. That outlet is mounted on the side of a desk. It looks like a school teacher's desk from when I was growing up, with a metal base and a pseudo wood plastic top. No chair, no building, no nothing. Just this outlet and this desk. So I'm staring confused at this desk in the middle of the forest when my cousin takes the radio, pulls out the cord, plugs it into the outlet, and then it lit up and started blaring static. The wire was actually being fed from somewhere. Now, the place where we were had no road access and no buildings for many miles. No other people around, and yet there was a live outlet. It was very weird. No spooky jump scares or bodies, just one lone powered desk in the middle of the woods, and I really wished I would have taken a picture of it. S.
Wow. That's weird, right? Why is it out? I mean, obviously somebody could have carried it out there, but it
comes out of nowhere, out of the ground. This electric wire runs over there to a plug.
That's crazy.
It makes no sense. There's no sense to be made about that.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of with the child playset that was on our deer lease was someone was using that as a deer blind. Okay, imagine folks out in the middle of the woods, just in the middle of nowhere, there's like a child playset.
Yeah.
Like a plastic child's playset. And it's like, why is this here?
Little tax playset sitting around out there.
Somebody drug it out there, and I'm guessing we're using it to hunt out of. Why you would do that, I don't know.
But here's my question about this desk. Where is that line coming from?
Yeah,
where's that power?
You should have followed it.
Coming from? Well, they did. It said it come out of the ground.
Yeah, but I mean, once it goes into the ground, keep searching.
Right. Go, because I want to know where that's. I mean, that's not like the size of wire. You would think that you can't run that wire like a long, 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 long ways.
No, there's a secret underground bunker. Well,
That's all I can think about is something is out there.
I'm thinking of the old television show Lost. Where there's the bunker in the ground, like that kind of thing.
But then why is there power coming out and going to that desk?
Why wouldn't there be?
That is so creepy. That is so creepy on so many levels. Because I'm thinking, like, what if you were out there camping, you're elk hunting, right?
Yeah.
It's dark and you see this glow. So you make your way towards this glow and there's just this person sitting there at a chair with a little lamp. And it's lit at the desk, just like they're waiting for you out in the middle of the forest.
That would be even more creepy.
Right?
Speaking of creepy, check this out.
Hit me.
It says, "Hello, I'd like to remain anonymous. I actually emailed this story to another podcast about 2 years ago, but my story was never aired. I hear he prefers calls over emailed submissions, but I just couldn't bring myself to call it in. My story references mirrored men, as coined by Derek Hayes over at Monsters Among Us." That's awesome. I just was having a conversation with Derek this week, actually.
Yeah.
He was talking to me about El Chavarin. Remember that on the last episode?
Yes.
"I also reference a call from that show, which prompted me to tell you my story. At first, I didn't correlate what happened to me with mirrored men or an abduction, but the more I thought about it, it kind of felt similar. This is a true story, and it happened when I was 16. I am now 45. I'd been going back and forth whether to tell my story because it sounds crazy. I grew up believing in demonic activity, strange occurrences, or things you might call bizarre, so I never held disbelief. My mother had many unexplainable experiences surrounding her childhood and adulthood, so nothing was out of the ordinary. My experience is just one of many, but I have to say it's probably the craziest. I'll tell you what happened. I grew up in a small town, and this particular thing happened in an even smaller town. Like I said, I was 16, and me and my best friend worked at a fast food restaurant. Our boyfriends normally picked us up from work, and if it was early enough, or the weekend, we usually went to one of our homes. If not, he'd drop me off at my house. My mom was very lenient, so I didn't really have to tell her what I was doing. She knew who I was and who I was with, and she knew what time I'd be home. Now, this night happened to be Halloween, and instead of the usual, somebody had the idea to ride around before we had to come home. It was around 8 p.m. There was an old, long, closed cement plant in the smaller town, and from the sound of it, it sounded creepy. I had only heard of it before, and this night found myself on the way there. I wasn't afraid, just going with the flow and having fun with my friends. It was myself, my best friend, another girl, and our two boyfriends in the car. The old plant used to be thriving, and it was an active business built in the early 1900s, but had long been closed down. It was situated along the outskirts of town, along a very long two-lane dark road with no streetlights. It was well past any residential area. We drove out to the plant, which took about 15 minutes. My boyfriend was driving. I was in the front passenger seat. The other three were in the back. We pulled up to the plant, which was on our left, but my boyfriend did a U-turn and parked along the fence. The plant now was to our right. We were all talking, just saying how old the place was and what it must have been to look like in its earlier days. There were machine parts and metal and other debris all over the large lot. Even in the dark, you could make out the junk. We hadn't been there but only 5 minutes or so when the two guys decided to get out and get closer to the fence, I guess for a more dramatic experience. It truly wasn't scary, but the guys were making noises trying to scare us girls, and we all started laughing, but immediately stopped. Out of absolutely nowhere, lights came on in the doorways and windows of the abandoned building. It was as if somebody turned on a light switch that lit up 20 to 30 windows all at the same time. In the lights were standing these huge, buff, tall, idle-standing men that had long hair. They didn't walk up to the light. They were already in the light. They didn't appear to be standing behind the structure of the building on the inside, but on the outside of the building as if on a balcony or ledge. All of the men were in uniform, all of them the same size and same stature, not saying a word, not moving. They had balled up fists and seemed to have work boots on. I didn't notice any wind blowing before, but you could see their long hair blowing softly in the wind, all in unison. You could see their huge arm muscles, but strangely, these things were featureless. You could assume they were men, but their bodies were more like shadows, blacker than black. You could not make out any facial features, any clothing, nothing. They just stood there, perfectly still. I don't know how long before my friend broke the silence with her scream, but I tell you, we were all mesmerized. I'm sure we were only staring a few seconds, but it felt like 100 minutes. She screamed, and the two boys ran back to the car. We flew out of the dirt-packed area by the fence along the road, back onto the pavement, and rode in complete silence. My boyfriend was the first to ask, "What just happened?" Nobody really knew, but we all saw them. We never discussed it after that night, not once, in the 29 years since it happened. We are all still friends, by the way. Over the years, this experience stayed with me, And I often wondered if it really happened. Did I remember the layout correctly, since it looked different from the pics I see of the building now? Could it have been possible that the electricity still worked, or maybe a homeless camp had taken over the old plant? If that were true, how come they had all the lights out before we pulled up? How come they didn't yell down at us to go away or to leave them alone? Why hadn't they moved? Was it really 20 to 30 things that looked like men floating outside the building? Why hadn't the news reported that us teenagers were just out there if we disturbed someone? How could we still see their black outlines perfectly without features and no noticeable clothing, even though we could see each other's clothing in the dark easily? None of it made any sense. I don't know what happened that night, but I do know what I saw. At the beginning of my email, I mentioned mirrored men, although my story differs somewhat. I saw multiple beings in relation to three men walking mentioned on calls I've heard. The men in my story were stationary and had no visible facial features. They didn't have stretched out mouths or turned slowly to look at us. This also happened in the 90s and was surely not heard of at the time. At least I hadn't heard anything like it. And they were most definitely not aliens. Here's the creepy part. I have no memory of being dropped off at home. It was as if we were leaving the plant, and that's where my memory froze in time. I woke up in a shed that was near our house. We lived on top of a hill. Our driveway was a hill leading to our home with the main road at the bottom. The shed wasn't a garage. Mostly had stuff my mom wanted to go through and get rid of. I woke up on an old mattress that used to be my sister's. The door to the shed was open, and I remember being really cold. My house key was in my hand, and after being really disoriented, I finally went inside the house. The shed was not connected to the house. It was several feet away. When I got inside my room, the clock read 3 a.m. I had no scrapes or cuts, no bleeding, and my clothes were all intact. I only thought of mirrored men because of this one thing, missing time. Here's the even creepier part. I had just remembered waking up in the shed at the time I first wrote to the other podcast when this whole thing happened well over 25 years ago. I have no idea how or why I was in the shed or what had happened to me in the between time. At the first time I woke up, I wrote my story about 2 years ago. I asked my friend what happened that night. She was the one who screamed. She has zero memory of us ever going to the plant. In fact, she asked me to tell her the story, since she didn't remember us going out there at all. I didn't bother asking her where or how she woke up. I also didn't bother asking the others. I just feel weird about it, and it makes me feel like I made the whole thing up. I've grown self-conscious about it, and suppose I don't want to come across as a nut job to any of them. They are grown and have families and no doubt moved on from something stupid that happened to us as kids. Who knows if they even remember? But I know that it was real. I know what I saw. Last thing I'd like to add, I heard an anomalous call that gave me chills and further prompted me to tell my story. Her story was about a galaxy vision, a lost pregnancy, and aliens. She mentioned losing an email account. I also lost an email account that was 10 years old, although I never spoke about what happened to anyone via email over the years. I also lost a pregnancy. I just all of a sudden wasn't pregnant anymore. I showed no signs of a miscarriage, and the doctor couldn't find a heartbeat as if it never existed. Sometime later, I had a dream my baby was removed from my body. Although I couldn't see who or what took the baby, I did get the sense that they were alien. They were just cloaked and hidden in shadows and were very scary. It was vivid and felt very real, but to me it was just a dream. I had a baby after this in 2002 via C-section, and as I'm beginning to have the surgery, the doctor asked about my previous C-section scar. She was very confused since the entire 9 months she knew this to be my first term pregnancy, first birthing experience, and had seen my belly a million times, not to mention the countless prenatal visits, ultrasounds, and pelvic exams. All this to say my doctor had many opportunities to see any scars I would have had. I had never given birth before this and never saw a surgical scar in that area until after I actually gave birth. I've never had any surgeries or even been hospitalized for anything in my entire life other than 2002, the year my daughter was born. I'll leave you with this. At the time of the plant experience, I was 16 and just a few weeks pregnant. Nobody knew but our parents and our siblings. I only have one child. You do the math. I don't know what else to say. I've never told this to anyone, not even my own grown daughter, who is now 21. I do not use drugs or take prescription meds, smoke or drink, and I've never been treated for mental illness. I am completely stable and live a very normal life. I could write a small book with everything I've personally experienced and everything I remember my mother telling us, both in her childhood and adult life. I want to say I appreciate this podcast because you read emailed stories. Thank you for listening to my story. If you want to see what the plant looks like, it's on YouTube. It's called the Dewey Cement Factory. Wow. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it sounds like alien abduction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. There's so many countless stories we've covered on the air, and I've also read about in books and met people personally who it's something that plagues them their entire life. And what it is they've probably inserted some kind of false memory into your mind, and they somehow messed it up because they don't know exactly what humans think like. So they mess it up every once in a while, and I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
The fact that you have missing time and you woke up in your tool shed, I mean, like, that's not something you would do with your key to your house in your hand.
Yeah.
You were pregnant, and then all of a sudden you weren't pregnant. Sounds like the typical
alien
abduction cases, right?
Yeah.
Very, very creepy. Thank you for sharing the story. Derek Hayes is a cool guy, too. So,
dude, that is awesome. So disturbing. The idea of seeing that number of, like, specters. Like, even the idea, you know what I mean? Even the idea of implanting the whole thing.
That's why I think it's a false memory.
Yeah, the whole thing is unsettling, as all get out. Kyle, I got you on here, man.
Before we get into it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Let's talk about our sponsor, Lumi Labs.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All and right. We are back.
Yeah, thanks for Lumi Labs. Thank you, Lumi Labs.
Yes.
I really do love their product.
It's amazing. Too.
It's amazing.
It has changed, like, a lot of stuff, the way I, like, pain management. It has really helped out a tremendous amount. Kyle, right before we took that break, I was going to tell you about something insane. And it's a headline grab. I'm not going to lie. I love hitting you with those. It's the way we get down. But it's also because this went down at Lake Conroe here in Texas.
Okay.
A muscular, Kyle, muscular bovine-headed not deer was encountered there.
I think you're making these up.
Yeah, I wish I was. No, I'm glad I'm not, to be honest with you. Salon fired this off to me. Y'all can check all this stuff out. This is what it says. Lon received this. It says, this occurred back in 2012 when I was 16 years old. Around this time, I'd spend the summer in Lake Conroe there in Texas in a middle-class subdivision near this resort backing up to the lake. I'd go on walks often and was used to seeing wild animals like owls and ravens, falcons, rabbits, your occasional fox, deer, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. Well, I might have added that part. And I haven't been back since my grandmother sold the house. So anyway, at around 9:30 p.m., I was walking around the neighborhood and I spotted a doe. That's a female deer, for those that don't know. And she was across the street. When the main street that loops around crosses with the other residential area, walking out of a patch of wood. So it's not like there's a big crisscross. This doe comes out. Says she was really big, real thick in stature, and oddly enough, had large muscle mass. said she had the thicker neck and bigger cheeks, almost like a cow's head. And she just stood there in the middle of the street, and I stood and was looking at her. Now, there was a street light overhead, but these lights were sparse, so they were making everything around her very dark in contrast. So we both just stood there for about a minute, and she didn't look at me. Then she walked away slowly into another patch of woods on the other side, but not like how a deer normally trots, but like a person would with four legs. I'd never seen the joints above the hoof move like this thing was. I was never scared, but I felt kind of quiet on the inside. And when she crossed into the woods, I thought to myself, what a weird deer. Now, I don't know if this was a not deer or a deer with a disability or a genetic defect. Whatever it was, it stuck with me. This moment was ethereal. I looked up CWD, or chronic wasting disease, and she didn't seem to have it. If anything, she looked more beefy and more muscular than your average whitetail. Now, she had the same colors as a whitetail, but she was thicker all over, had a bovine-looking head, her ears were not moving, and she walked smoothly, but like a person with four legs. Imagine ankles, but smooth. Thanks, Steve.
Wow. Yeah. More and more of these not deer sightings have been pouring in.
It's pretty wild, right? So let me hit you with this. I found another one that took place in Conroe, or near Conroe, in 2021, July of 2021.
Now, for those that don't know where Conroe is, it is heavily wooded.
Yes.
Like, that's where the big thicket is. I mean, you're talking deep, thick pines.
Yeah, as you're getting,
Because, you know, a lot of people think that Texas is like the desert. They realize that.
Part of it.
There is definitely a part of it that is like that. But the eastern and the southeastern part is heavily wooded. I think they said, like, other than Alaska and maybe one other state.
No, we're second to Alaska as far as the biggest forests.
Really?
Yeah.
See that?
Second only to Alaska for
that. That's crazy.
Much. So this said, and this is what L sends us, says, it was July of 2021 when we were taking our umpteenth girls trip to Galveston. Two up front and two in the back seats of a Hummer. We were talking and listening to music when I noticed something flying towards us alongside Highway 45, far in the distance. Now, as we traveled, we were all trying to determine exactly what it was that we were seeing. It was draped in black and literally seemed to be faceless, a faceless, upright human flying in a straight line without arms or any sort of propulsion. We estimated we were able to watch it for about 2 miles as the gap closed between us. It was fairly high, but we all saw that it appeared to be wearing a flowing type of fabric. This thing was the subject of discussion for days afterwards, and to this day, we still wonder what the heck we saw and agree that there was no way it behaved like a kite or a jetpack. Plus, this area is mostly ranch lands. Has anyone else seen anything like this?
No.
So the first thing I thought of was the stuff that my daughter and I saw that night.
Yeah, right.
Like that blowing whatever the heck it was.
Trash bag duende. Yeah,
whatever that crazy thing was. But said this one looked like the shape of a person without propulsion blowing through the air. Now, the thing that gets you the most, speaking for me, is when your mind sees it and you're like, dude, like I said, it looks like a parachute material. Or like plastic, but it's dull. So that's what always gets that satin finish.
I know what you're talking about.
With the light. So it looks kind of like a tent or like your tarp, right? Blowing through the air. But the way it moves, it doesn't seem like it's by accident. It's like the wind's blowing it, right? And it's just up and down and then falls to the ground. It moves with a purpose. And I think that's the most unsettling thing. It makes me think of, have you seen the movie The Frighteners? The old Michael J. Fox one where he can see the ghosts.
I think so.
Right? And they have the dude moving around that's like killing people, the serial killer that nobody can see. Or like, what is the one from Harry Potter? Was it called Dementors?
I never really watched I think that's what those are.
But that's kind of like what it gives me the idea of, you seeing this creepy thing flying. I don't know. It's just extremely unsettling.
I think it might be down there. I think of like these videos you see where these guys conceal their drones and it makes it look like a witch and they're flying.
Oh yeah.
On a broomstick around the park and stuff. Yeah. And it's freaking people out. The problem is the video, they have the sound muted and they put in music and stuff post. But in real life, you'd hear that. I mean, so
flying past you.
I don't know how well that would work.
Yeah.
At pranking
miles
people.
Where you couldn't hear it and could only see it. Or if you were doing it driving down the road, it would work perfect.
Yeah, right, because you wouldn't hear it.
But you can't just be dive bombing people in the park trying to scare them when you're just racing around. You're like, get out of here.
Like Darwin does,
like,
right?
Exactly, like Darwin does.
Check this out. I think this is a possible Glimmer Man sighting.
Oh, yeah.
This woman said this happened when she was only around 5 years old in rural Illinois. She said, I was playing by the edge of the woods behind my grandmother's house. It was a place she often played. She liked to dig in the dirt and collected rocks that her grandmother would keep. And her grandmother just kind of let her do her thing. She would keep an eye on her from outside the kitchen window, and she would pop out every now and then to check on her. She said, I was busy digging away, and suddenly something caught my eye up in a tree above me. I don't really know how to explain it, but it looked almost like a heat wave coming off of the branch of the tree. Now I'm staring at this heat wave and realize it has a human shape. So here I am, 5 years old, wondering why there's an invisible man in the tree in my grandmother's yard. I remember feeling scared, but unsure of what to do. Then it started moving and started making faint clicking sounds. She said that she ran back indoors to find her grandmother, and she remembers telling her that I had just seen an angel. She says that in my 5-year-old mind, I didn't know what else it could be. I'd never even really heard of aliens or ghosts or monsters at that time, so to me, it had to be an angel, because that's all my little mind could think of. She said her grandmother quickly dismissed it, went on, didn't seem concerned about it, but she said she still thinks about it to this day because she's heard lots of podcasts talking about these Glimmer Man, and I think that that's what I saw. I think you're right. I think it was a Glimmer Man. I don't know why so many people are seeing these things, especially in the trees, but we've been getting a plethora of Glimmer Man sightings lately.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm excited about it. We got some news coming up about Glimmer Man sightings and things like that coming up. But very cool story. Thank you for sharing.
Kyle, I wanted to bounce this off of you because we've talked about this in the past, may have even discussed this one before, but this is something that's still strange to me as we start talking about seeing these things in certain areas. Hebronville, down in deep South Texas. It's in Jim Hogg County. It's not too far from the very bottom tip as you're going down to like South Padre, if you're going to go down that way and drive down all the way to the very end of the toe of Texas. Lon had received some stuff here, and I don't know. I need to really pick his brain about it and see what he did, because it's what he thinks, because there's more to it than just this one thing. But it's odd that this is what we get from there. This happened back in 2013. And it says, a couple of months ago in summer, my friend actually saw a small dinosaur here in town. Now, do you remember the dinosaur? Yeah.
No, I know. We've talked about it before. Yeah. I'm numerous.
It's so strange. But they said they saw a dinosaur here on Main Street. Said it was the evening when she saw it, around 8:45 in the evening. She was driving and noticed the dinosaur cross the street. Now, she said that she saw the shape clearly as it passed other cars' headlights on the opposite side. She said, oddly, that the other cars didn't seem to notice as the creature passed. So she tried to call me, but her phone was out of minutes.
See, and that makes you wonder, is it like an illusion? Because can only she see it and not the other car, not the other passengers or other motorists on the road? Or, like, if people can have ghosts, and we can all agree that we think ghosts are real, well, why can't animals? So, like, maybe you're seeing the ghost of an oviraptor or something. Or, I don't know, maybe it's bleeding over like a lost memory in that area. Anyways, there are sightings, and especially here in Texas, of people seeing pteranodons, pterodactyls, and, even like little raptors.
Well, I think of it, too, as this way. We now know that there's a multiverse, right? Like, they've made movies and we've made jokes about it, but it's like physicists believe that there are now, and we've talked about it, multiple, like what we have here, multiple layers of it, all different versions of the universe that we live in.
Yes, no, the multiverse and stuff, it's confirmed. So, science believes that,
Could that be the exact same thing as when people talked about the Fae? and the Fey realm. That was their way of explaining the multiverse. Is it was the same things that happened. You don't, like we always bring up this television series Fringe, you don't cross over into it, right? Like it's the only way you can get in is if you don't exist in that multiverse or however it is. I'm just wondering if that's what a lot of this is bleeding over in these areas somehow, like you're talking about. What's so odd though is could it be vibrational? But what's so strange is they're not big. We're not seeing giant dinosaurs. Yeah, right. It's not like we're seeing velociraptors, right, or anything running down. They're little. In fact, the person that sent that in, talking about their mother, said that a couple of months before that they actually heard a creature, said that I would only describe as a dinosaur. Said I'd been asleep. It was nighttime, maybe about 2 a.m. I had awoken and just at that moment heard an unfamiliar screech of something run by my window. Now, we have an AC unit in the window, so the window was basically open, and I heard its footsteps as it ran by, and it was heavy, whatever it was, and I could clearly hear it impacting the ground. And as it ran further away, I could hear it screech again. Now, it was like nothing I'd ever heard in my life. It was loud, too, and I wonder if anyone else has heard or seen anything like it. I live in an apartment complex, so I just laid there in bed completely bewildered by what I had just heard. Now, I questioned my sanity and if I had heard what I thought I had. So when my friend saw the dinosaur, she was excited, wanted to tell me because of what I heard. I'm only sad I didn't get to see it too. We both question our sanity, of course, and these stories, you know, are posted to help us feel better and not feel so crazy. So that's not the only one in that area. There have been several in South Texas.
That's crazy.
Several sightings
but
in
South
Texas.
I like the sightings. It's neat. It makes you wonder, like when you go to the deep Congo, like Mokele Mbembe and stuff, were those same thing, like something bleeding over from an alternative dimension? Or is it physically there in the Congo? Because it's so deep in the Congo, I like to believe that it physically was there.
I do too.
There was a brachiosaur or whatever living in the swamps.
I 1,000% agree.
But that's just because it's a cool idea,
yeah,
right?
100%,
it's like in your mind.
100%.
It's just like, oh man, that's awesome. Just like the, what was it? Not Brazilian, but he was Belgian. The Belgian helicopter pilot that saw the giant 100-foot long anaconda.
The big snake. Yeah. Of course.
You know, there's a picture of it online. It's, once again, one of these pictures. It's not really taken that well. So you can't tell. There's nothing to give it scale. But I like the idea of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Probably because I don't live anywhere near the Amazon.
Here's,
or the Congo.
Touching
and
on
I'm never
phone.
Going to.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Go there, you know.
I don't need any bugs implanting, like laying eggs under my skin, in my head, coming up through my feet. I've got enough problems as it is. Going back to that snake, I remember there was a study done on that photograph where they had taken the height of that tree and that allegedly people had gone out there from the like whatever it was from wherever they were trying to say where they'd used some other things like parts of the plane and knowing the distance, you know, trying to get at the scale down.
And they were able to?
Yeah, that they were able to decipher using what they, you know. And of course, you know, you're going to hear like one group say they did it and the other group say it wasn't right, whichever, whatever you want to do. I think about it this way. Imagine being the person that went through all that work to prove that snake was big, only to still be dismissed like it was nothing. Because it doesn't make sense, right? Like that's what they talk about with alien abduction, with all these things. Imagine doing all that work and people are like, no, you're still wrong.
Yeah, well,
I think I equate that to the water erosion on the Sphinx.
Right.
You do all that work and people are like, it's not real. You're like, no, bro, it is. It's real.
Check this out. We like sightings and we always talk about on the show about it depends on who the observer is. So I think you're going to like this one. It says, hello, I am a police officer.
Hello, we are podcasters.
I was called to a residence out in the boonies. Now, this was in Wyoming. So the boonies are really the boonies. We were called out at about 11 p.m. about suspicious activity. When we get there, we are told by the family living there that there are some strange screams coming from the creek about 1,000 feet away. And sure enough, waiting outside on the porch with them for about 5 minutes, I heard it. It is very hard to describe what it sounded like. It was almost like a woman and a woman in severe distress, but higher pitched. And each scream lasted for about 15 seconds. It never sounded like it was saying anything. It just sounded like a cry of sheer terror. And it happened again. We tell the family that we're going to go investigate, so we just walked down to the creek since it was nice out. We heard two more screams, getting louder and louder each time as we approached the creek. Now, by now, we're both kind of freaked out. Now, there are two possibilities. One is someone's getting murdered and maimed in the creek bed, or it's a wild animal, perhaps a mountain lion. As we approach the creek bed, we hear no screams for about 5 minutes. We search around and find nothing, yelling at the top of our lungs for someone to come towards us if they are there. Then, we hear the same exact scream, but this time behind us, exactly from where we came from. We get about halfway back to the house, and the scream comes so loudly this time, it seems to be right next to us. Now, we frantically shine our flashlights everywhere and find nothing. Now, I glance over, and I saw no sign of any animals, no rustling of bushes, no eye shine, just silence. We trace our steps back, and the scream comes again, this time from back in the creek. This time, though, it lasted for about 30 seconds and was much louder than before. Our retreat becomes a little more hastened, and by this time we were both scared to death. We verified with the family to call us again if they heard it. They never called again, and we got the heck out of there. I still don't know what it was. I'm an avid outdoorsman, and I've heard mountain lion before. This was something different. I know no animal that makes cries like what we heard, and I'm glad I wasn't alone because my fellow officer was there too. I also can't think of an animal that could remain that stealthy without being spotted by our flashlights. The thing kept circling us and was getting very close, and whatever we would shine, we would never see anything. Something else that weirded me out is that it went completely silent while the screams were happening. During the summer in Wyoming, there's always some type of ambient animal sound. Frogs croaking, crickets chirping, owls hooting, coyotes howling. But this time, there was nothing until we were leaving and the screams had stopped. Then the sound came back. We could hear frogs croaking, insects chirping. It gives me the creeps just thinking about it today. My curiosity got the best of me. I went back to the creek bed the following day to see if I could see any tracks, you know, from like a mountain lion or fox or something. I didn't see anything other than white-tailed deer tracks in the mud in the creek. Still to this day, I don't know what we experienced, and it kind of freaks me out to think about it. Thanks, Dan.
Huh.
Where? Weird, huh? So an avid outdoorsman knows what animals and wildlife in the area sounds like. There's something in the creek, and it's screaming. So is it Sasquatch, like we talk about? Is Sasquatch interdimensional? Did it materialize, make some noise, and then we can go back into another dimension? I mean, I think like a lot of the extraterrestrials, they're not extraterrestrials, they're ultra-terrestrials, right? They're from another dimension. I mean, science tells us that there's infinite numbers of you in infinite worlds that are almost alike.
Still not going to be as cool as me.
I'm sure they're much cooler in the other multiverses.
Probably, sadly.
You're living in the worst one, right?
Sadly.
And it's strange. I don't know what they experienced, but people, I remember when Pat Aiken, remember when he called in, he was a sheriff, same similar story.
Yeah.
The old people that lived in this mobile home, this trailer.
That was so great.
Down by a creek, were hearing noises and stuff. And, you know, the lady said, they had a little dog, I don't remember, a little chihuahua. I don't remember the chihuahua's name, but remember he was constantly yipping.
Yeah, going crazy.
And he went out there and, you know, he thought they were just crazy. But then over time, he started smelling smells, hearing signs. Stuff was throwing rocks, and it's always like in some creek bed. We always talk about they follow the creeks.
Yeah.
I don't know, crazy story.
It was extremely unsettling talking, just the stuff he would talk about, and just how genuine he was about all of it, right? Like, oh.
Well, that's right, and it's just because you're, I'm not so dumb that I can believe that sheriffs and police officers can't make stories up. Of course they can. They're just like anybody else. But when you're a trained observer, it holds more credit to me.
Yeah, and most of the time, not every time, but the way I feel is like lots of times you've used that muscle, right? Not only you trained in it, but you've used that muscle a lot. So you've sharpened your ability to be a trained observer. Because a lot of those people, like they always laugh about, some people react differently in stressful situations. Some people run towards the problem, some run away. Some of them, you know, you can just shut that part off and you are able to assess and go through it. And then you may deal with it much later on. And a lot of those people that are like that, I love getting their firsthand in count, their tales coming in because of so much that they notice that may go unnoticed by others.
Like Pat, I mean, he's a country boy from like Georgia, Arkansas, something like that. The guy that was here, he's an outdoorsman, grew up in Wyoming.
Yeah.
I mean, if you grew up in Wyoming And you're an outdoorsman. I mean, you've been around. You've seen critters.
There's grizzly bears up there, y'all.
I mean, we have friends that live in Wyoming.
There's real monsters up there.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, there's real monsters up there, too. Look, I'm afraid of those. Of bears. So I don't need to know of anything that might be up there. I don't need it to be any creepier. It's creepier enough that there's bear up there.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely afraid of grizzly bears. Right.
Yeah, I don't want no part of that.
For a good reason.
Yeah, because you're made out of what they like to eat. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the wholehearted problem. Hey, I got more on this dinosaur.
Okay.
I got more on the dinosaur, baby.
Okay.
So after Lon had posted that little article about the person seeing that and hearing it, it wasn't long after that till I guess word got out in town down there that it had happened and that it was posted. And someone wrote in to Lon and said that I was told by a neighbor that you had received reports of a small T-Rex dinosaur seen here in Hebronville, Texas, and that you mentioned it on a show. I live near Falfurrias, Texas, which is 18 miles east of Hebronville. I and others have seen those creatures. My neighbor and I saw a pair of them back in December of 2012 on the roadway behind our houses, and we were a little scared to report this sighting. But I know other people in this area have seen the exact same thing. A family member in Sabinas Hidalgo in Mexico told me that he saw a big lizard the last time he visited us. He saw it while he was driving near McAllen, Texas. He described the same thing that we have seen. He said it's 2 to 3 foot tall, large head, long tail, ran on two legs, and was very dark in color. That the two creatures that we saw were dark brown and walking quickly on two legs. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon, and we watched them for about 20 seconds as they moved towards the dead end of a road. We got a very good look, and for a few nights after that, we heard short shrills coming from the brush at the end of the road. Now, a couple of weeks later, my son told me that his friends and he had found many quail feathers and deer bones scattered by the tree in that same brush. I did contact a wildlife authority about the remains, but didn't mention what we had seen. He said it was probably coyotes, though I've not heard or seen coyotes for a long time. Another neighbor lost a dog about the same time, and again, coyotes were said to be the predator. No remains were ever found. My husband was alarmed and had a high, heavy-duty steel link fence built around the yard so that our grandchildren and pets would be safe. Now, my neighbor said that she thought that these may be chupacabras, which I do not believe in. I don't know now what to think. Do you think that the dinosaurs are real, or could it be chupacabras?
Well, it's a good question because... Right? Chupacabra is kind of a loose term. I mean, if you go to Puerto Rico, they're lizard dinosaur-like. If you go to Texas, it's more like hairless coyotes.
Yeah.
So it's a broad range. They really should come up with two different names, I think, for the
100%, 100%.
Sharing the same. One is like an extraterrestrial alien, blood-sucking Dracula vampiric lizard. And the other one is just a mangy dog that steals chickens out of chicken coops and stuff. Like they should come up with two separate things.
So I got this for you. So you jump ahead a few years, okay?
Okay.
All the way up into 2015 now. So from 2013 to 2015, Lon gets another one of these. Now, the date on this one goes back. This person writes in and said, I read your article not long ago about what went on with these dinosaurs in Hebronville, Texas, and they are not exaggerating because I've seen an unknown animal there in a field also.
Wow. Hebronville, Texas is popping with dinosaurs.
Right.
We got to get down there.
This was back in April of 2011. And this person goes on to say that I was walking along West David Street towards my friend's house on Renata Road at about 5:45 in the afternoon. I'd just gotten off work. On the side of the road where I was walking, I saw dust being kicked up into the air and moving along the field. Then the trail of dust was heading towards the road in front of me. I stopped walking, not knowing what may be exiting the road. And about 40 foot in front of me was what I can only describe as a little T-Rex dinosaur. It's about 2.5 foot tall. It didn't stop running as it dashed across the road and into a smaller field. It was light reddish brown, stood on two legs, and had a long tail that was straight out as it ran. There is no way that this was a lizard known to live here. It looked very much like a photo of a toy that I have found online. And it's a T-Rex. They include the photo. It's a little tiny T-Rex. No one wanted to believe me. My friends and family think I've mistook it for another lizard, but I know what I saw. And until I read your article, I thought I was going crazy. My ex-husband used to talk about huge birds and walking shadows that he and others would see on a ranch south of town here. And at one point, several cattle would even go missing without a trace. And he wouldn't stay there at night. So this place is strange. Thanks, MG.
Man, that is cool.
But, Brud, it don't stop.
More?
There's more. This took place, again, was reported on back in December of 2015, but it was one from a 2014 interview, a fella named Dan, who at the time was living in Bakersfield, California. He had an encounter that happened when he was a kid, but he was living in Midland, Texas.
Okay,
so
been
again,
there.
Right by the desert.
Never been to Hebronville, but I've been to Midland.
13 or 14 years old, talking about going out into the dunes. You know, that's a big deal out there. You go out in the desert, riding motorcycles, riding their dirt bikes and stuff around out
Crusty
there.
Crusty demons.
Just send it. Says, I remember seeing this thing, and it was probably about 2 foot high. This thing stood up on its back legs, and it didn't have fingers like you would normally see in the T-Rex, like in the movies with three or four fingers.
Yeah.
It simply had one claw. And I now remember that we were riding our motorcycles around and we scared it off, I suppose. It was greenish yellow in color, and I never really thought about it. I just assumed it was some sort of weird lizard. But I remember this thing being 2 to 2.5 foot tall when it stood up, and it had this egg-shaped head. And the only thing that I can say is that it looked like a tiny T-Rex. It had an egg-shaped face or head that it keeps talking about, and that it was T-Rex built. So it almost sounded like the ones, I don't remember what they're, I'd have to ask Lil Fizzy, that like ram stuff. But he said, you know, this is a
that's
T-Rex.
That's a Pachycephalosaurus, I believe.
There you go.
Or maybe it's a Stygimoloch. There's two, actually. I'm pretty sure it's either one of those two.
He said that as they were riding around, they saw it crawling on all fours. They rode up to it. It jumped back on its back legs, had its little tiny arms whipping around. Then it turned and took off into the brush, and that was it. That was the last they saw of it. So far, I've not found any more stories of South Texas dinosaurs. So if any of y'all have them, please send them. I need to hear more about possible sightings of tiny T-Rexes in South Texas. That's a really, I didn't even mean to make that work out, and it did. That was really good. Yeah. That's the name of our new band, the Tiny T-Rexes from South Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yes. If you have any sightings or anything creepy you want to send to me and Cam to share with our listeners, please do not hesitate. You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. I want to make an announcement, especially for people that are listening to the show on YouTube. I see comments all the time on YouTube where they're like, man, when's the next show coming out? If you want to follow the show, you can find us on every platform that has podcasts. Just go to Expanded Perspectives and search it up on whatever platform you want. If you want to use Spotify, use Spotify. If you want to use Stitcher, use Stitcher. If you want to use iTunes, does not matter. We're there.
Old Google man Play, rant coming. Old anything. Man rant.
No, but what I want to say is the people on YouTube, if you like Expanded Perspectives and you want more, you're only listening to half of what we do. That's right. There's a whole other podcast called Expanded Perspectives Elite, and you too can listen to it. Go to our Patreon, search up Expanded Perspectives Elite, or go to patreon.com/Expanded Perspectives Elite. You can sign up, and for $5 a month, you'll get extra episodes. And if you sign up right now, you'll get access to the entire back catalog, hundreds of shows. That's not going to be around forever, though. That's going to change pretty soon. So go over there now. Go to our Patreon. Sign up for $5 a month. You'll get hundreds of extra episodes, and you'll be helping out the show.
That's right.
I mean, the money is used to buy things, books, equipment, you know, whatever. It just helps us produce the show, and we really do appreciate it. We also like to thank our sponsor, Lumi Labs. Lumi Labs is available nationwide. Go to microdose.com and use the promo code Expanded to get 30% off your first order. Mm. It is very cool. And also, don't forget about Squatchella.
Squatchella, baby.
We got a live show coming up in Nashville, Tennessee, August 3rd. We're going to be there. Our friends are going to be there. The Tony Merkel's going to be there with the Confessionals. Nate and Luke with Blurry Creatures is going to be there. And Andrew, Andy, and Josh are going to be there with Ninjas or Butterflies. And we're all going to be doing our live shows there. And we're going to be meeting and greeting people. We're going to be taking pictures.
They were talking about like bringing in some secret guests we don't know about. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that's going to be going down.
Yeah, it's
going to be a good time.
Very cool. Go to Squatchella.com to get your tickets. I'll put links to all of it in the show notes. Cam, what else you got planned for the rest of your week?
I don't know of anything, to be honest with you. I'm just going with the flow. I know school's out. I'm going to help my daughter clear out her classroom. That's really about the only thing that I have. Whatever they need, whatever she needs to get done, that's it. And then with the big holiday weekend coming up, I'll have the granddaughter.
I noticed some books. Looks like they came in. And normally this is not new. Like when I come to the studio, Mary usually puts the books that I come in because we get books sent in from all over.
You caught me.
Manzanita over at Inner Tradition Books and stuff like that. Always is shipping us stuff. But these books look a little bit different.
Yeah, these are my fault.
What are these? This doesn't look like this is for the show.
Nah. Well, it is. I mean, it could be. If people enjoyed it, I mean, it could be for the show.
Something from Kobold Press.
Yeah, I got some stuff that.
As well as two copies of this Vecna.
Yeah, Era of a little Ruin. D&D. I got a few D&D books coming. Had to get you a Vecna book.
Thanks, bro.
You can check that out. A little Kobold Press action. Hey, you can never have too many monsters and mysteries in your life.
That's true.
So, yeah, that would be, look, I've said it before. If I knew people would enjoy it, I would DM a session. We'd get a few friends, and I would do a live action gameplay of some D&D.
Maybe we could do that somehow.
Like, it would be fun. Like, I don't know if we put it on Patreon or what it is, but like just a little hour and a half long session, and just do a few of those. But I would DM it because we got a few guys that we play with that are truly out of their mind. So it would be a good time.
It would be a good. We could do like some kind of giveaway, like a raffle, and like five people win the right to have you DM the game, something like that. I put a poll up on Patreon a couple weeks ago about whether they thought Bigfoot was a physical creature or something else, and the results are in. More people, I don't have the exact stats, I can get them for you.
You start talking about it, you don't even have the numbers.
Hold on.
What are you, my wife?
No, hold on. It just came to me as I was talking. I need to mention this, and I just keep failing to mention it. Hold on,
folks. So what was the, so you put it up. Is Bigfoot physical, or what did you say?
I'll tell you right here. Hold on. Give me
here
a second.
Here we go. Scrolling.
I'm almost there.
Look at this guy here.
Sasquatch, real or something else? So your choices were, is Sasquatch 100% a living biological being, or is it not a biological being? It's something else. And lots of people voted. 53% of the people think it's not a biological, physical living
being. That's closer
being.
Than I thought it would be.
I was too.
I'm surprised.
So 47% of people still think it's a living creature.
Man.
Maybe
it's a living creature that lives in other multiverses.
Maybe. That's what I'm saying. My decision is, it depends on what day you're asking me. Today, I'm going to say it's physical. It's real. Tomorrow could be something different.
All right.
Right?
Good to go.
All right, everybody. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, stay out of trouble. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Go Stars.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.